comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Come on, man. You know I only surf Transformer sites when there's girls around so they can see how cool I am.
Nerd Radio starts now.
Welcome to your Wednesday night tradition on your HD radio and your whenever you darn well please tradition.
We're a tradition.
On the podcast pages and on your RSS feed, it is Nerd Radio. And we are back for another week here, Albert.
Yes, not recommended for binging Nerd Radio.
Definitely. Definitely not. I think you get sick of us kind of quickly.
Yeah, that's the last thing you need is like 8 hours of this voice.
Well, that's the thing. I do know people who have binged Nerd Radio.
Oh, man.
And yeah, I felt the need to apologize.
Yeah, they are they okay?
They're troopers.
Are they okay now?
They are. They're
you sure? We should maybe put a watch on them.
Should put a warning on it, like a parental warning. Mm-hmm. The black and white bars, but like not for binging.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Nerd Radio.
Coming next week. Nerd Radio Wellness Checks.
Woo.
Checking in on you.
Oh, man. There's going to be, it's almost like a detox.
Yeah.
There's going to be a group sitting around in a circle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Chuck Bean. And
what would the detox be for the, what is the anti-us?
That's a good question.
You know, it's like.
My go-to.
Here's sports and sex.
Right? Sports. And sex.
Yeah.
One of these Nerd Radio shows, we'll just do a sex show. We'll just talk about sex and it'll be about 5 minutes long.
Yeah.
And then we'll both be looking at each other going like, I don't need to talk about about sex. This is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable just talking about it.
To paraphrase Deadpool, maximum sadness. Nerd Radio.
But it was
we're off to a great start.
I know you had a busy week. I had I don't want to say an even busier weekend, but down at the YumaCon, and we'll get to me and Kyle are going to talk about that later on in the show. But the big news this past weekend was The Walking Dead. Both me and you have kind of checked out of the show. We've talked about it before, but knowing that this was going to be the final episode featuring Rick Grimes, I had to tune in. I had to check it out.
Yeah, I did not.
And I got to say, it was real good.
That's good. I mean, that's good to hear, honestly, especially coming from someone who was never really a big fan of the show, not really a fan of the comic.
Right.
And you just kind of come in and out for key issues, key episodes, just to kind of know what's going on, because people at the comic book store are going to come in and talk to you about it.
I talk a lot of junk about The Walking Dead. I've said many times that it's a show where nothing happens.
Well, that's true.
And but it was a real good episode from like start to finish. Mm-hmm. I think... You said you didn't see it, but
you
still read the comics.
Yes.
Okay. So you can fill me in.
Well, like 4 months ago, I was reading the comics.
All right.
I own every issue that's come out since.
You can fill me in on some of the stuff that, I've heard was pulled from the comics or might have nothing to do with the comics. So the episode starts with, I guess the cliffhanger at the end of last week's episode before they got to this one is that Rick was riding a horse and he was surrounded by, the undead and the horse threw him onto this concrete slab that's got one of those poles that's sticking out that they put in the concrete, and it just jammed him right through the guts. So at the beginning of the episode, he's bleeding, and he's having a bad time, and he has to get himself off of that thing and back on his horse.
Sure.
And the horse just is slowly trotting along with this just army of undead behind him. And there's a really cool shot of that highway that leads into, like, Atlanta from it was in the first season, I think, when they were coming out of Atlanta. On that highway. It's a similar shot, but like the horse has got Rick on it and he's kind of slumped over and it's walking up the highway and there's all this undead coming behind him, kind of a full circle kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they tried to do that very often throughout the show. There was Rick would pass out and have these hallucinations of different people from his life. Like one of the cool ones was they got the actor that played Shane to come back.
Yeah. John Bernthal, the Punisher.
Right. And have a conversation, the two of them in the cop car from like way back first episode, having conversation about what's going on, and then everybody.
Yeah, you notice how AMC after Bernthal does a Punisher, we're like, we should get him back in here somehow.
We should figure out a way to put him on TV.
Yeah, we may have killed him off a little too early. Well, I mean the Shane character dies pretty quick in the comics too.
Yeah, for sure. I think he stuck around much longer in the show.
I believe he did. Yes.
But he has a conversation with Rick and then each progressive hallucination, every one of them will tell Rick to wake up. And it's kind of like Rick's own mind telling him, like, you got to wake up. You got to keep fighting.
Yeah.
Another one that he has is the final scenes that the actor that played Herschel shot were in this episode.
Yeah, because he passed away recently. Yeah, yeah.
The actor himself passed away. But that
the character passed away long ago, but the actual actor passed away recently.
Right.
Yeah.
But a very touching scene with those two and a very cool conversation. In the meantime, things are happening in the with the rest of the characters in The Walking Dead world. And the one thing that I'd read is that there's a scene between Maggie and Negan that actually they pulled from the comics, just from a different point in the timeline in the comics, where Maggie shows up. Negan is they've got Negan imprisoned in a cell, and Maggie shows up with a crowbar to basically bash his head in the way he bashed Glenn's head in.
Yeah.
And Negan breaks down and begs her to kill him so he can join his wife, who we find out was named Lucille in that particular scene. And Maggie decides, no, it's worse to let you live, kind of thing. But the actor that played Negan just knocking that scene out of the park.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan, is that his name?
That's correct.
That guy is, I saw him in a few things. He's the comedian.
Yep.
In Watchmen.
The Watchmen movie.
But there was this this show called Magic City. It was on Stars. That's the first thing I ever saw him in. It was kind of like he runs a hotel, and he's not like in the mob, but he's got organized crime connections. And it's supposed to be like a hotel in like the 1950s, and he runs the thing. And it was a really good show. Like, it was a really good show. This is a time when Stars was the only premium channel I had. And I was like, you know what? Let's give one of their programs I call it a program. I feel like I'm a grandfather. Or is my grandfather?
Check out my stories.
Yeah, or my grandfather, who was from Pennsylvania, a program. Yeah, one of those radio programs. But, yeah, so I figured I'd give one of their original shows a go. And that's where I found Spartacus, which is one of my favorites.
Right.
So then I started watching all of them. You know, they had Crash was good. They had Party Down.
They did the Evil Dead show with Ash versus Evil Dead.
Yes, they did the Evil, which I didn't watch. Well, I don't have Stars anymore, but that's a more recent thing. But they did that Black Sails.
Right.
So Stars has got some good stuff, man. They're right up there with, like, you know, maybe not quite as where HBO and Showtime are, but they got some good stuff.
That kind of leads into something. Let's table Walking Dead for a second.
Okay.
And talk about a thing. Because this
just
is,
like I did in real life. Continue.
Because this is something that I noticed last month that Netflix, just like one week after another, releasing must-see content all throughout October. They released... at the beginning of October, I don't remember hearing much about this, but they released this series called The Haunting of Hill House,
yes,
which I spent all of October hearing nothing but good things about. Mm-hmm. Still haven't gotten to it, but it is on my radar. They released the third season of Daredevil, which I'm about 3 or 4 episodes from the end of, and we'll talk about on this show once I've finished it. Fantastic.
Mm.
Absolutely fantastic. It is the Marvel Netflix show to watch, for sure. Yeah. They also really
completely blown me out.
Yeah,
they really have.
Somewhere around Halloween, they released both the Castlevania anime, which is written by Warren Ellis, which is you can hear his influence in the character dialogue. Like every episode has a line or something like that. It's like, yeah, that's a Warren Ellis line. That's a quite dirty joke. That's definitely something Warren Ellis wrote.
I do like Warren Ellis, yeah.
But they also released The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, the character Sabrina, which is from
I'd heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be more of like a dark comedy kind of stuff than the, you know, one from the 90s with more just sitcom-y or something like that. But all of the stuff releasing within the span of like 30 days, all these like shows you gotta binge, all happening. And like,
I'd heard some good things about that Sabrina show too. And
you guys couldn't have spaced that stuff out, man.
Well, no, they want you to do nothing but use Netflix, which is exactly the problem I ran into with the Marvel shows. And why? And I do not care. I don't care about those shows anymore. You know,
right,
which is sad
because
I like. I mean, actually, I'm so far behind in comics. I barely care there either.
Yeah.
It's too much, man. But it's just too much.
But it leads back to a conversation we've had previously about the fact that like everybody's got these streaming services. Mm-hmm. They, like CBS has the one now, and then we talked about last week about they're doing a Star Trek kind of comedy, and they've got Discovery on there and the Twilight Zone and stuff like that. Like all these streaming services having all this must see stuff.
Well, we're putting that must see label on there, and we don't necessarily. That's part of the problem, I think. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, like,
well, it's must see as in when you hear about it or you see a trailer for it, you're like, oh, I got to see that.
Yeah.
But then
it's really curing me. It's honestly this must see mentality is it's going to save me a lot of money in the long run because it's just making me.
It's make you check out faster.
Yeah, it does. It does. When there's too much, I got nothing.
Yeah.
I just don't care.
Well, let's see.
I don't enjoy things anymore, Chuck. Come on. I am a joyless man, and you know that.
I have you on the show to tell you about things for you to go, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah. Nerd Radio, the celebration of things I don't give a shit about.
Oh, welcome to the show, DMX.
Yeah. I haven't heard it from him in a while.
Right? All right, so back to The Walking Dead as I wrap up. Giving you the wrap up on this.
We're talking about that thing I don't care about either.
At one point, Rick comes across this cabin that he like tries to wrap his wound in or something like that. Looked a lot like the cabin from Evil Dead.
Did it?
Yeah.
Well, maybe. I mean, I could see that being like a little Easter egg, a little nod.
I don't know. But so that happens. He has a conversation with.
God.
Anyways, the way the episode ends.
Sorry, I am in such a sour mood right now.
The way the episode ends is not with the death of this character who's been bleeding out for 45 minutes now, who has lost more blood than a human being has in them. Which is my only real complaint about the episode.
Right.
But there's a newer character.
I mean, look at when you smash a zombie, man. Like, all that wouldn't be coagulated by now.
That's true.
You know? I mean, they're The Walking Dead. It's right there in the title.
That's true.
You know?
So Rick successfully blows up.
I mean, their muscles, rot right off of them. Like, how are they moving at all?
They just fall apart. When you can push them over and they just explode.
Yeah, well.
Stupid zombies.
Anyway, I'm... Continue.
Rick blows up a bridge with a big explosion, and everybody, all the supporting cast see it and kind of expect that he's gone, and they can't find a body. His body washes up downstream, and this other character, who I do not know, calls a helicopter to pick Rick up, and he gets, helicoptered out, almost MASH-like.
Oh, good.
Out of the show.
Was goodbye spelled out in stones, like at the end of MASH?
No,
like
it was spelled out in zombie bits.
Yeah, there we go. Perfect.
But then they
I left you a note. Sorry, we're reliving MASH.
There's a bit of a fade, and you see this new group of people getting surrounded by zombies, and then there's a couple of gunshots, and this young girl's voice says, "Come this way," and they go running this way, and they come across this preteen girl who picks up Rick's hat and puts it on and says her name is Judith.
Oh,
so there's been a time jump, 6 years, according to the Talking Dead show that was on afterwards. It's a 6 year time jump leading into the rest of the show now, where Judith has grown up and somehow firing Rick's big 357 hand cannon.
Right.
Which I don't know.
So is she like the new Carl then? Like, yes. Is she kind of like taking over for Carl? Because Carl's dead in the show, too, right?
Right.
Which I always thought was crazy, but if they're turning Judith into Carl,
exactly,
for all intents and purposes,
yep,
you know, because he's such an important character in the comic. I mean, that's the funny thing is now Andrew Lincoln's out of it too, so Carl's dead. There's no more Rick Grimes.
Yep,
and I mean, yeah, they're really hanging their hat on Norman Reedus, you know, which is everyone's favorite. Which, you know, that is what it is. But
right.
I don't know, man.
And now they're taking the Judith character who didn't the baby end up dying?
Oh, yeah, she died as a baby in the comic, back in the prison. They took out, I mean, this is, well, I guess it is a spoiler for the comic, but I mean, whatever. You've been warned. It's a pissy mood. I don't care if I ruin your joy. But no, when the governor and all them, they storm the prison.
Right.
You know, that's where we lose Tyrese. And then I think Judith and Lori are fleeing the prison, and she gets hit with a bullet that goes through her and Judith.
Ooh.
So they get taken out together.
Brutal.
Leaving the prison. Yeah. So that's how they end up in the comics for Judith.
Yeah. So now you're kind of like your main focus characters in the show are characters that either never exist in the comic or existed briefly.
Yeah.
And did not exist, you know, any longer.
Yeah.
In the book.
I'm okay with the time jump, though, because, I mean, especially now that you want to focus on a Grimes character.
Right.
And you got to give her a little more age. You got to give her a little bit. They did a time jump in the comics, too, because, I mean, like, there was years and years and years and years of comics, which was almost like, well, it's been like a year and a half in comic book time.
Right.
So then they eventually did this thing where it might have been after, I think it was after the war with the Negan and the Saviors.
Okay.
After they wrapped that whole thing up, they did a time jump, and I can't remember how long it was, but Carl's a lot older. So contributing to the society now, but it was probably maybe about 6 years. Seems about right.
Well, that was the thing I wanted to ask you, being somebody who has read the comics. So the Negan scene, as I said previously, they pulled that out of the comics. Have they gone about making Negan like a redeemable part of
the
comic kind of thing?
Yeah. And there's a lot of conflict as a reader and with the characters too about that, because he does a lot of stuff to like prove his loyalties are, you know, maybe not questionable, or that he's worthy of, you know, whatever.
Right.
Like, I mean, they do a thing where I can't remember who or why, but somebody unlocks, they've got a cell in the basement. That's where they keep them. I don't know if that's how it is on the show or not, but the cell ends up unlocked and open, and he stays in his cell.
Huh.
And Rick is the one who finds him. And Rick is like the one who the most like, has no trust issues with him, but for some reason can't just execute him.
Yeah.
So he wants to imprison him forever, but, you know, just can't end it. I don't know. It's a whole messed up thing. But, yeah, so he ends up saving Rick's ass at some point in the comic. So I think they sent him off. I don't think he's in the comic anymore.
Yeah, they were like, well, we can't. We're not going to keep you in prison anymore, but you can't live with us.
Yeah, you can't stay with us, but, you know.
But that's the thing I wanted to ask you, because obviously they're going that direction with him in the show. To mimic the comics. And they did some of that with the governor too, when they had him on the show. Like, they gave him kind of a, like, he was obviously the villain, but they gave him a backstory that made you kind of sympathize with him or something like that. I don't think they did that with the governor in the comics. I think the governor in the comics, from my recollection, was just a nasty dude. Do you remember, like, can you confirm or deny that for me?
Off the top of my head, I agree with you, but I'm going back and trying to think.
Right.
Because I believe the governor, in a lot of ways, was supposed to be if things went differently for Rick.
Right.
Like, it was supposed to be almost like a bizarro alternate reality version of Rick.
What do they call it in the start? The mirror universe. Mirror universe.
Yeah, like a mirror. Yeah, from Star Trek. Yeah. Right. Because I believe that was the governor that they kind of were kind of putting that on, which I could see, you know.
Right.
So they're supposed to be, in a lot of ways, like at their core, they're supposed to be very similar characters.
Big difference. Governor had both his hands.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I believe the governor is the one that took Rick's hand.
Yep.
Did he lose his hand in the show?
No.
I don't think he did.
No. And I clearly remember hearing Robert Kirkman say on Talking Dead that was like one of the biggest mistakes he made in the comics, was taking Rick's hand, because he had to write around it so many times.
Right. Yeah. You know what? I do like Robert Kirkman. I remember, you know, when they killed off in the comic, and again, this... spoiler, if possible, when they killed off Andrea. I know we talked about it on the show, but it was so cool to me that he like wrote this letter to the fan base, because, I mean, really, aside from Rick and Carl, I think she was the last original member left.
She was one of the longest running members of the comic.
I mean, Rick's not in the first panel, but he's on the first page of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And he's the only one who's been there since then. But, you know, you meet Carl, and then he, you know, finds Laurie and Carl and Shane. And, like, that's all takes place within the first trade paperback. So the first 6 months of the comic series. But Andrea's in that first trade. Andrea's in when they're in Atlanta, or just outside Atlanta. She's one of the people that's there. And, of course, they killed her off early in the show. But as far as the comic goes, I mean, I think she was it. I think she was all that was left.
Right.
You know, Maggie's still around, but even she didn't come around till the farm.
Right.
Which, you know, in the trade still happened within the first year of the comic. But that was like, I think the farm was like the second trade paperback. So Maggie's still around. So she's like the next longest running character in the comics anyway, that's still there. But yeah, so Andrea, he kills her off, and you get to the back of that issue, and there's like this letter. Like, he's like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm sorry that I killed Andrea. And she had become, you know, kind of like in the show, Rick and Michonne started hooking up.
Yeah.
In the comics,
It
was Andrea. So they became a couple. So now, you know, we've got a Rick who has not only lost Lori, Carl's still around, and his daughter Judith. But you've also got, you know, Carl, who's there, but he has moved to one of the other communities. So he's not there anymore.
Right.
And then you lose Andrea too. So you got a Rick Grimes that's got a lot of loss, a lot of pain in the comic right now. But yeah, he apologized for it, and just like, I thought about it and I knew I had to do it, and I tried to write other ways around it, but I knew it was the right thing to do. And it's just this apology. I mean, it's
Yeah.
I like that.
It's respectable that, yeah. You know, as the writer, he understands how much that character means, you know, to the people.
I mean, which is funny because talking about fans of the show even, I mean, so many times I've seen on Facebook, like, that's it, I'm done with this show. Like, when they killed off Glenn or whatever. Or, like, if they kill off whatever, that Daryl, we're a riot.
Yep.
Well, first of all, the show, calm down. but there's been so much of that. But they kill non-discriminately. It's just like, and you're dead, you know?
Right.
But Kirkman had that in him to be like, listen, I'm sorry if you're attached to this character. Like, you know, he reached out to you, you know? I like it.
Are you still reading his other book, his Outcast book, the one that they had the Cinemax show for?
No, and I even jumped off the show. I had Cinemax for a little while. And,
right.
You know, I'm just, dude, it sucks because I love my comics, I love my shows, I love my movies. I've just been in this mode where, like, none of it. I'm just behind on everything. It doesn't really like grab me right now.
It's a phase where it's not really grabbing you.
No. Well, I usually go through where I like rotate though. Like I'm super into comics, but I don't really play any video games. Or it's like I've got a video game phase. I'm going to do that for 3 months, but I'm not going to really touch my comics. Or I'm like really into a TV show. None of it really right now is like. None of it right now is really grabbing me.
There's no joy in the life of Al Beck.
There's no joy in the life of Al Beck. If there's one thing we've learned. From years of this podcast, I am a miserable, we've already used DMX once, but I was going to say something.
Well, the last bit of news coming out of...
Oh my God, we're doing headlines still. I forgot.
The last bit of news coming out of The Talking Dead is that this is the end of Rick Grimes on the show, but there will be a series of Walking Dead movies they're working on.
Yes, I'd heard featuring, that as well. Yeah, and Andrew Lincoln may be involved in those.
Yeah, Andrew Lincoln being a part of those. Also,
I heard he signed on. Like, I think he is going to be involved in that.
Right. I also read yesterday that apparently there's going to be a Breaking Bad movie and production starts this month.
Just heard that as well. Yeah. But I had seen, we were talking about with the morning show, actually, and Vince Gilligan's supposed to write and direct it, which is the only way to do it.
Oh, for sure.
Vince Gilligan, and that's the thing, like the question on the table was, could it be done? Is it still going to be good? Does it translate to feature film?
Right.
I'll tell you right now, I loved X-Files. The Vince Gilligan episodes tend to be some of the best ones.
Okay.
I think anyway. I can't imagine how good the reboot would have been if he had been involved.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, just a quick circling around on that for people who didn't know. Chris Carter did reach out to Vince Gilligan and said that, you know, like, hey, we're rebooting the X-Files. We want you to come back and be a part of it and write with us. And he said, I would love to if I didn't have anything else going on.
Right.
I would. But I'm focusing on Better Call Saul right now, so I don't have time for that. And it's like, that's a guy that where you've got like a J.J. Abrams who's like, give me 8,000 projects.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got his name on everything or, you know, just one of those guys producing a bunch of stuff. Vince Gilligan's one at a time. I'm going to focus on this. I'm going to do it well.
Right.
And then when I'm done with it, I'll move on to something else. But the fact that he's writing and directing this movie gives me a lot of hope. And it makes me excited for it because I thought Breaking Bad was a perfect show. When I heard about Better Call Saul, I was a little skeptical.
Right, because you don't want to water down the, you know, like you said, the perfect show that you had there.
And that's in my opinion. For me, Breaking Bad was perfect. There was never an episode that I didn't like. I felt bad at the end, but it wasn't like a lost scenario where it's like, well, that sucked.
Yeah.
The reason I felt bad was because I wanted more. And that's like rule number one in entertainment is leave them wanting more. Was it on this show we were talking about shows that go too long?
We were. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were just last week. We were like, yeah,
like 9-10 seasons. You kind of outlive it. I mean, like I'm a fan of Big Bang Theory. I've been watching it for a long time. That show sucks now. It is terrible. And it outlived its usefulness and its entertainment. To me, anyway, there might be people who still like it, but that show is terrible now. If it had gone 4 seasons, it would have been great.
I wonder how Anne feels about that. Have you talked it? Because I know she was a big fan of The Big Bang Theory as well.
We haven't talked.
She's also out on it.
Yeah, I haven't talked recently with her about it. But yeah, for me, it's another case where this show went on for too long.
Right.
They tried to develop the characters too much. Because I feel like sometimes, God, this segment is all over the goddamn place. I feel like sometimes the actors get so attached to their characters that they want to see them develop. You know?
Sure.
And so, like, I feel like you had this show about these nerdy college researcher, you know, researchers who work for a university and they're comic book nerds and they are kind of lonely and stuff. But then it's like, all right, well, now can we really seriously, can we hook Leonard up with Penny? Like, can they finally get the girl? So, well, what do you care? Like, it's none of it's real. None of it's real. But like, you see it all the time. That's what happened. Back to MASH. That's what happened to Frank Burns. Why he left.
Yeah.
Loretta Swit, who played Hot Lips Houlihan. You know, for those who don't watch 80-year-old television shows.
It's not 80 years old.
Had this, like, this crazy relationship with Frank Burns, one of the majors, who had a wife back home. And it was like this, you know, he was unfaithful with her. And for four seasons straight, they had, like, a relationship.
They were the foils to Hawkeye yes. And BJ.
And yeah, and they were, exactly. And Loretta Swit thought that the Margaret character needed to not be tied down by this other character, needed to expand. It's like, it's who cares? Like, it doesn't, it's not real. It's not a real person. It's just the, and you know what? She made that, she made the producers make that decision. They did one more season with Margaret and Frank being split up.
Right.
And Larry Linville, who played Frank, was like, there's nothing else to do with this character. Like, just write me out of the show.
Right.
You know? Although that fifth season, Frank Burns, specifically season five, Frank Burns, may be my favorite character in all of MASH.
Really?
When he has no friends left in the camp, it is hysterical.
He has nothing left.
Yeah. But again, it's like one of those things. And on the other side of that, the reverse of that, Will Wheaton, who played Wesley Crusher
sure.
on Next Generation. Will Wheaton had the exact opposite response for his character. When he left Next Gen, he wanted to, you know, go work on movies and do something. He just felt that I've done what I can with this character. I want out of the show. The producers didn't want him to leave. So they said to him, I just heard this story recently. They said to Will Wheaton, well, what if we give him a promotion? He said, I'm sorry, what? He's like, well, we've made Wesley. We already, you know, he was an acting ensign. We've made him an ensign now. What if we give him a promotion and he becomes a lieutenant junior grade? And he goes, do I get paid more if Wesley gets promoted? They said, well, no, it's the character. He's like, well, then what's the point? Why would that make me stay? I don't care if the character all of a sudden has a higher rank. Like, it's all make-believe.
That's ridiculous. Can I just say, before we move on with the show, that I am...
We can move on.
Completely.
How many listeners are left? Yeah. Our analytics, I don't think our analytics let us know when people shut this off.
Right.
Yeah.
But can I just say how impressed I am this week and how many names you remembered?
Well, we talked about MASH and Star Trek.
I would throw you a Walking Dead character and you would be right there with the actor or actress's name.
Probably like, not, but you can feel free to...
You did. You did it like three times this week.
Norman Reedus and Andrew Lincoln and, oh, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, John Bernthal. I'm
Look
killing it, baby.
Al Woo! Beck is on fire, which means it's the perfect Woo! Time. It's the perfect time to take a break and totally ruin your
Come on back, baby.
All right.
Bring it on.
Nerd Radio's on its way back.
Woo! BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Nerd Radio.
He's like a person and a horse.
Welcome back to Nerd Radio right here on your podcast page and your RSS feed on your interwebs and social media at Nerd Radio 101. My name is Chuck B and I am joined by my good buddy Kyle.
Hello, everybody.
Somebody actually asked me if your first name was Good Buddy and your last name was Kyle, because that's how I always refer to you.
But sure.
It's the truth. I'm a good buddy. And we're going to talk about YumaCon.
Oh, yes.
Last weekend was I have two big events on my calendar every year. In the spring, it's Motor City Comic Con, and in the fall, it's YumaCon. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't other cons that I'm very, very, you know, happy to attend and have a good time at, but YumaCon, thousands of people, man, running around the Kobo Center and the Renaissance Festival. And
Renaissance Center.
Oh, I'm sorry, the Renaissance Center, not the Renaissance Festival.
Whoops.
Oops.
It's kind of the same thing.
Eh, what you
one
do?
Involves more armor than the other.
That's true. That's true. I want to say we were both pulling double duty this year because the Dave and Chuck the Freak .5K was going on this weekend as well.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I know you were on the promo team out there. I was here doing board op stuff on Friday and Saturday and stuff. So didn't get to attend as much YumaCon as I typically do in a given year, but that did not deter me from having a great time. How about you?
I still had a good time, but this year it was a triple threat. So we had, for me, on my side of the story, it was YumaCon and working it. And then on Saturday, my bosses were like, we really need you for .5K. I'm like,
yeah,
okay, but we really need you. So I'm like, okay, I'll do that. So told my YumaCon people, I'm like, listen, this is what's going on. And then on top of that, I'm still sick.
Ooh, yeah.
So I felt triple threat.
I felt like I was like before YumaCon, like the Tuesday leading in, I was like, oh no, I'm getting the con crud before the con even starts. I'm gonna be patient zero, man. Somehow I powered through, and throat's a little sore this week, but I just keep trucking, man. Just keep working, just keep moving.
And on top of that, I looked in my medicine cabinet the other day, and I remember earlier this year I had the same kind of pesky cough, and
sure,
my doctor gave me these little tiny pills. They're like, take three a day, I guess, until they're gone. Your cough will be gone. I'm like, cool. Why didn't I remember I had all of this stuff
right
before Yuma?
Yeah. Well.
Oh well.
Well, there was some good and some bad to be talked about with YumaCon. Let's start with the good. Let's start with the cosplay. What were some of your favorite cosplays you saw this year? Because there was, I think the most cosplays I saw, I knew I was going to see a lot of Bowsettes and Boozettes and, you know, all the Ets from Super Mario.
Yeah.
Because that's a huge thing. Saw quite a few Pickle Ricks that I did not expect to see. And My Hero Academia was everywhere. You could not turn a corner without seeing somebody from My Hero Academia. What about you, Kyle? What were some of the cosplays you saw you liked?
So for me, you know, I'm not picky when it comes to cosplay, but you know, when you've gone to a couple conventions over the last couple of years and you're like, okay, well, I've seen it all. First of all, I don't know what the hell My Hero Academia is.
You have no idea. No, it's like Anime X-Men, man.
It's yeah, and that's what I'm starting to realize. So I actually, at the request of many of my YumaCon friends, they're like, you need to watch this. We know you like comic books.
Right.
You need to watch this. So I just started season two this morning.
Oh,
awesome.
Wow.
Favorite cosplay, though, of the con had to be, if I can find it.
You got a picture of it?
I do have a picture of it. It was Garrus Vakarian from Mass Effect.
Okay.
Which kind of completely blew me away. They had the full mask. They had his rifle. They had the wound he got from Mass Effect 2. So it was super duper cool. They even had his blue tinted armor.
I didn't see that cosplayer, but I saw pictures of him.
Yeah.
As after the weekend was over, and was like, wow, that's badass.
But so that one was really cool. And then I have to give a shout out to all the people that did the Monster Hunter armors, because those are so cool and they require a lot of work because there's lots of spikes and scales.
Right.
And
yeah, there
it's
was
just super cool.
There was a couple of people I saw that had just massive armor, and half the time I don't know what game you're from, but I have to respect the fact that like you built that. That's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
That was Garrus is really your favorite. You didn't have another favorite, possibly?
You know what? Speaking of which, I ran into these two Sailor Scouts.
Yeah?
Completely shocked me.
Yeah?
I didn't know who they even were, but I was in awe. They were dressed as Overwatch characters, but they were Sailor Scouts.
Oh, that sounds fascinating.
I loved it. It's my surprise cosplay of the con. Couldn't believe it. I hope I see them next year. I hope I see more of them next year.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully, I'll tell you something.
Hopefully this is a thing that they start and people do it.
Yeah, more people. You can get more Overwatch characters. I'll tell you what. We're jokingly referring to my cosplay as well as Amy's cosplay. She went as Sailor Diva and I went as Sailor 76. And I've had a friend of mine building that sailor costume and kind of conceptualizing it and getting the boots and everything like that. I have never had more people ask for a picture. And man, was it cool. Like, that is the best feeling ever when you're in a cosplay, is when people get it and people were like, even people that didn't ask for a picture, I'd walk by people and I'd hear them behind me go, they would see the 76 on the back of the costume and be like, oh, it's Sailor 76. Mm. That's great. And I'm like, yeah. But it was a little outside my comfort zone, but it was so worth it.
Yeah, you know what? From the pictures I saw from a Facebook page and on the from Amy's on Instagram and all that, I thought it was super cool, and I thought it was a nice original idea because you're taking two things that I love. If any of you watch my stream, you'll know that my waifu is Sailor Jupiter.
Yeah,
just saying. So I do love the sailor stuff.
The Sailor Scouts, and then you also are a big fan of Overwatch.
I am. So I thought that was super cool and original of you. So hopefully, maybe you inspire some people to do others.
I would agree. I would love if we could get a whole group of.
And no,
of
I'm
Overwatch
not doing
Sailor
Torbjorn.
Oh, come on! You'd be so cute.
I know, right?
I tell you what, I did learn an important lesson from my Sailor 76 cosplay too. Comfortable shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Very important, no matter who you're cosplaying. Comfortable shoes. Because, man, oh, man, were my feet just hurting. My dogs were howling by Sunday, man. So let's... cosplay isn't the only thing that goes on at Yumacon. Yumacon is a big celebration of not only anime, but video games. And, you know, there's comic book characters around there. There's the dealer's room and all that stuff. So let's talk about some of the other big things that were going on there. Did you see anything in the dealer's room that you were like, holy crap, wow!
So, I'm a huge fan of a little anime that used to air on Toonami called Outlaw Star.
Heck yeah.
Not a lot of people remember that.
Yep.
So I'm kind of dating myself just a little bit, which is completely fine, but I love Outlaw Star. It's my favorite anime of all time. And for the past couple of cons that I've gone, whether it's Yumacon, Anime Central, or even Motor City,
right?
I try and find stuff for this. Can't ever find anything.
It's
not a mention of it. It's
niche.
It's very
for sure.
Niche, and it's an old anime.
Right.
But I was wandering the dealer's hall, and specifically Artist's Alley this year, and I'm like looking at everything, and I was working at the time, so I told the person I'd come back, but they had a poster of Outlaw Star, like kind of like promo art almost, only they did it themselves.
Sure.
And I swear to God, I laid an egg and must have. I was so super excited. I'm like, there's no way I'm seeing this right now.
Right.
So I'm like, I said, I'll be back. You know, I want one of these.
Right.
And I bought it. It was only $20, so super reasonable price. And I'm going to frame the hell out of it.
That's cool, man.
I'm super excited. That and there was another vendor that had a bunch of Godzilla stuff that I was like, I want this.
Yeah.
And this. And I only left with a poster because I was like, you know what, his stuff's kind of expensive, but it was super cool, so...
I was telling Amy that this year, not this con in particular, but all the cons that I've been to this year, Motor City and the Michigan Comic Con that was down at Kobo as well, I feel like I've forgotten how to properly con at a dealer's room, because I will walk around a dealer's room and I will see things I want, and I will mentally play this game in my head where it's like, okay, that's a little more pricey than I really want to pay for the thing. So if I'm real good and I save my money and don't spend money with these dealers that I may never see again, then later on in the week, I can justify that I was good and spend money at like GameStop on a new game or something like that, which I could get any time. And, you know, like when I stop and think about it, I'm like, that's dumb. Why are you doing that? You could get that game anytime.
Whereas some of
this stuff you may never see again. But I did it again. I was walking around the dealer's room. I saw one or two things. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then like, I didn't, you know where I spent money this year at Yumacon? the game, the tabletop room, tabletop game room.
Hey, but that's still, you know, I mean, some Gamer's of that Gauntlet. Stuff can be hard to find.
Gamer's Gauntlet was out there, and I know one of the dudes, Chris, that works out at the booth. He had a bunch of singles for the Transformers card game that just came out, and
nice.
I needed a playset of a particular rare card that I didn't have any of yet, so I just, you know, I haggled with him a little bit, and he gave me a playset of them for like $10. I'm like, all right, cool.
Sweet.
Speaking of the tabletop room, did you get to experience any of the tabletop stuff? Because I know you were, as you mentioned, you were volunteering at the same time that, you know, you were attending.
Yeah.
So that can be hectic in itself.
For me, I do go to the tabletop game every year. It's just at what volume of how much do I soak up? I think last year you and I played a game.
We did.
I think it was.
Yeah, we went in Friday, like late at night, and we played some Magic, which was fun.
And then, so this year, not Friday night, but I think it was Thursday night. Maybe it was Friday night, but no, it was Thursday. We went to the game room, me and my friend Adam, who you've seen me walk around with a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah.
And, we played some Commander, but unfortunately, it's the game room is in the Renaissance Center,
and it's
and everything else is in Kobo.
It's the only thing
it's tough
this year that's kind of in the Renaissance Center. Not to mention the fact, and we'll get to it, that some of the escalators were down, which made traversing the Renaissance Center a little difficult.
Oh yeah.
But let's move on to the video game room. They moved it from the Ren Center to Kobo, and it blew me away. It was impressive as hell. The big stage that they had for the tournaments that were going on, and they had the big screen up there so you could watch them from
that
any place
cool.
in the room. That was really cool. You know, they had all the arcade games set up. It was loud because all the games are making all the noise. But it was really, really cool. And they had some, you know, a lot of returning games. A lot of the rhythm games are real big in Yumacon. But one particular game that I tried out, let me see. I looked it up for a minute. Gunslinger Stratos. It was by Square Enix, and it's a. I don't know if you saw this. It's a light gun game, and it looks a little bit like the setup looks kind of like Time Crisis.
Oh yeah, I played that.
Yeah, but it has two pistols, and the pistols have little analog sticks on the back of them, and it plays more like Virtua On, where like it's kind of like a third person fighting game, where you choose different characters and you know move them and look with the pistols the thumbsticks on the pistols, and then you shoot them like a light gun game.
Yeah,
fascinating.
That was cool. My buddies played it. I played like one level of it, and I'm like, this is really cool, but not for me. But
you know, there was all different characters, and depending on which character you chose, like the one when me and Amy tried it out on Sunday, the one character we had didn't actually have two guns. So she was using the right gun and I was using the left gun because we didn't realize it was supposed to be one person per machine. But my gun, instead of firing, I was like turbo boosting us left or right or forward or backwards.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas she was the one that's shooting. So after the first round, we switched because she's like, I'm no good at shooting. I'll steer. You shoot.
Yeah.
But it was also the thing that I found fascinating with it is the pistols themselves had like a magnet in them so that you could lock them together. If you were playing a character that only had, you know, like one gun.
That's
so it's like, oh, this
cool.
is neat. Yeah, it was fascinating. A buddy of mine was telling me that they have that machine out at Great Lakes Crossing at the arcade out there. I'm going to have to go check it out.
Oh, at round one?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go check that out because that was super cool. They had the table flipping game. Me and Albeck talked about that the last time I was there. It's super fun. And they also had not only Guitar Freaks, but a Drummania machine. And I kept my record that I have of being great at Rock Band and terrible at Japanese rhythm games. Because I sat down at drumming, I watched a guy play a baby metal song, and I'm like, I could do that. Yeah, I get that theme. All right, cool. And then I sat down and I chose a baby metal song, and I failed out, like almost before the first chorus. Like, man, I thought I was good.
It's funny.
Did you get to play anything at the, arcade?
I played some SNES, and then I mainly just kind of walked around. The game room for me, it's cool. I like that it's in a bigger room. I love the kind of like the esports stages. I thought that was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I miss the computers because I really wanted to just be like, okay, you know, I'm here. I can log into my League account or my Blizzard account, and I can.
It definitely felt like there were less of the PCs.
So
to play
there
on.
Which totally is fine because PCs require you to be a little more. connected to the internet as opposed to a standard arcade
and that's,
game.
As I was saying before, if My Hero Academia was the big cosplay this year at YumaCon, Fortnite was the game that was on so many of the PCs and the, and the consoles.
Everyone was playing Fortnite. I'm like, the game, I get it, guys. The game is cool, but it's not that cool.
Right, right.
Go play some Overwatch.
Did you notice that a lot of the consoles, too, required you to bring your own controller?
Mm-hmm.
Did not have controllers already hooked up to them.
That, and also people were stealing things.
Oh, really?
So,
because that was like, me and Amy were going to play some Smash Brothers, and if you didn't bring a controller of some sort, you couldn't hook it up to the system and play.
Yeah.
Thing. I was like, that's new, at least to me. I mean, it makes sense, especially in an esports, console gaming kind of thing. Like, a lot of people have their own fight sticks and bring their own controllers for that kind of reason. But, you know, just as a recreational thing, I was like, that's weird.
But I think next year we'll be prepared. It was their first year over there.
Sure.
And it wasn't 24 hours, which...
Yeah, it's a little bit of a bummer. You can't get super drunk over at your friend's room in the Ren Center and then just wander into the arcade room, which is a little bit of a bummer. But I think the sacrifice is worth it for the size and the scope of the game room over at Kogo.
Honestly, if they have it open until 3 or 4 in the morning, then that's almost 24 hours,
Yeah.
It gives you 4 hours of...
That's true.
4 or 5 hours. I mean, so me having kind of an inside thing on the convention is that there is stuff that is 24 hours, 24/7 during the weekend. However, a lot of the cool stuff like the game room, it's just like, you should sleep during the weekend no matter what.
Right.
So at least get, your 5-6 hours of sleep. So I can kind of see why they do it, but it's also very expensive to run those rooms.
Oh, I'm sure.
There's they're in-depth things, but still it was cool. I like the size of the scope. So hopefully next year, it's the 15th year.
Yeah, so it's going
to
be a big deal.
It's supposed to be a big deal.
Right.
I've heard so. But
I don't want to completely oversell. I don't want to make it sound like the entire weekend was great. There were problems, you could say. And you're in a unique position, like I said, as a volunteer. So I'm not looking to get you in trouble or anything like that. I'm just looking to what are your feelings on some of the things that you heard problem wise? Of course, I mentioned earlier, the escalators were down, and YumaCon doesn't have anything to do with that. That's the Ren Center.
No,
but when you
got
to the Ren Center, in order to get to the tabletop gaming room, much less the video rooms, you had to get from the first or second floor up to at least the fourth floor.
Yep.
And the escalators between floors 2 and 3, all of them are down. So the only way to get up there was to use some of the elevators.
Yeah.
So that was a big pain in the ass. However, the people that they had running the elevator line this year were the best I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
The elevator line at no point looked completely like, oh, I'm not getting into that. That's so long. I'm not doing that. Every time I was like, wow, it's way shorter than I've ever seen it. I guess we use the elevators.
The elevator staff did good. The elevators were working very, very well this year.
Right.
And I wasn't at the Ren Center as much. I would only go up to, I don't think I made it to the, is the game room on the fourth floor? Or is it the third floor?
The tabletop room? I think it was the third floor.
Oh, so I only made it to the third floor, and that was about as far as I got.
Right. That was kind of funny, too, with the moving the video game room from the Ren Center to the, and like I said, there were a couple things going on in the Ren Center, but without the video game room there, it didn't feel like such a priority to actually get up there.
No, it didn't. And a lot of the action was still down in the cafeteria. So one of my quips about the Ren Center is that there's no game room, but I know why they didn't have the game room there.
Sure.
Because the Ren Sen, something happened between the Ren Sen and the people, and they're like, no, Kobo.
Yeah.
So, which is fine, as we already talked about.
It was
awesome, regardless.
It was an improvement.
They lost the 24-hour privilege, but they got more space and could kind of showboat a little bit, which was cool.
Yeah.
Elevators didn't play too much of a factor for me, unless I wanted to go play tabletop.
Right.
My big thing is, for 2 years in a row now, we've had massive construction at the Renaissance Center.
I know. It's like and by what, Sunday? I think it was by Sunday, by the end of it, they were like the escalators were working again.
Yeah.
Like you purposely, it's almost like 696 construction. Like you purposely shut down a piece of the Ren Center in the middle of the weekend when you knew a convention was going to be here.
Correct.
What the F?
I mean, I have heard rumors that the Renaissance Center really doesn't want the convention to be there anymore.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
which is
that hotel makes so much money.
Yeah, that seems so.
All those businesses down there, all the businesses in the Renaissance make a killing.
I'm sure there's plenty of rooms that just get absolutely destroyed that weekend that they have to,
for sure,
put back together as the cleaning staff or something like that. But yeah, I always think about like how many businesses downtown have to be like, oh man, it's going to be YumaCon this weekend. But then at the end of the weekend, they're just counting their 20s and their $100 bills.
This is amazing. Well, I hope it happens every year.
Yeah, it was worth it. And it has to be kind of fascinating too, like all the fast food that's in the food court at the Ren Center to be like, oh man, I'm working Saturday night at YumaCon of YumaCon weekend. Man, I'm going to see so much crazy stuff. It's going to be so much fun.
But a lot of the places closed at midnight or one.
Yeah.
Which was fair. And it was still a wonderful experience, but like the construction, hopefully they're done with that.
Yeah. There was even construction on the highways too, like leading downtown, which it felt kind of like, come on guys, like leave one of these open for God's sakes.
Yeah. And I mean, they don't care. They're trying to get it done before the white fluffy stuff comes and falls.
Exactly. Exactly. I also wanted to. Plenty of people, and this seems to be a problem every year. Had complaints about the program, the way they printed the schedule. They printed sideways, so it was like really hard to read this year.
Oh yeah. So they printed in
even like one of the volunteers. I was asking about something, and they had to put it right next to their face like this in order to figure out.
So
to read
this
it.
Year was the big year. That Attendify actually kind of made the convention a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of conventions are using that now. Attendify, it's an app where you can find the schedule for everything, and it gives you the actual. So me being in Dealers Hall, it said in the schedule that we're open at 9. No, we open at 10. 10 for the plat and staff.
I was going to say it wasn't.
And 10:30 for everyone that has 3-day or single day badges.
Okay.
So that's how that worked. Whoever made the schedule in the program messed up.
Messed up the schedule.
For the second, third year in a row.
Yeah.
So not cool on you, but hey, oh well, there's nothing we can do. But yeah, they decided that size 4 font was perfect.
Right.
And, and whatever font size they chose.
Right.
And if you look somewhere on some of those pages, it says, do not print this page.
There's a bunch of stuff in here that says do not publish on it.
So,
and I'm like, well, I mean, okay.
So that just goes to show you that they got sloppy again this year, actually sloppier than last year.
However, you know, we both, you having a little bit of an inside track, we both understand how difficult it is to put one of these together, especially, mm-hmm. like I said, thousands of people descend on this convention from not just from Michigan, but from all over.
Yeah.
It is a huge deal. At the end of the day, every year there's complaints. Like I follow the Facebook group or the stuff like that. And every year there's people talking about this was wrong or that was wrong and this was garbage or I'm never coming back because blah, blah, blah. And I feel like, you know, you hear the dissenting voices, obviously, more than you hear the people saying this was awesome kind of thing. But I feel like, you know, I'm not discounting anything that somebody, a bad time that anybody had. I'm just saying you might have had a bad time, but at the end of the day, if you're the person running this convention, like the majority of the people had a great time. So,
For sure. And I think it still went very well. It was still a big year, bigger than last year. And, I'll go back next year. I do not know if I will volunteer next year.
Yeah.
Just because of some news coming out of Dealer's Room with staff.
Sure. Well, that was, speaking of staff, that was something that I wanted to talk to you about, is that one of the big complaints over the weekend, especially in the Facebook group, was that a lot of the staff was very rude to some of the attendees. I personally didn't have any interactions that, you know, were like that. But I, what would you, like I said, as somebody who volunteered, not looking to get you in trouble or anything like that, but if somebody were to come to you and be like, the staff was real friggin' rude this year, what?
Well, it depends. I would tell the person, like, depends on where you are at and what department you're dealing with. Because if you're dealing with security, well, if you're doing something mischievous, of course you're going to get yelled at.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you're dealing with, like, dealer's hall staff or merch staff, which is my department, you know, it really, it comes down to, what are you doing that, you know, it also depends on, like, you know, we don't know what is going on in everybody's life, but if they're miserable, of course it's going to, you know, show in their work ethic a little bit. But for me, I was kind of like, just the last year, I was just kind of being funny in line. I was raising my voice, like, you know, if people thought I was being a dick, well, I'm sorry, but maybe you should listen to the rules we lay down for you when you're in line, and you won't get yelled at.
Well, Kyle, I think we can both agree it was another successful YumaCon.
It was.
And we are looking forward to YumaCon 15 next year. Thank you guys, the YumaCon staff, for letting Nerd Radio come for, I believe it's the fourth year in a row. And hang out. It would have been, if I wasn't, you know, working double duty this weekend, it would have been great to get some interviews. But by the time I was getting to the press room, like, all the celebrities were moved on to their signings and stuff like that. So hopefully we can make that happen next year. So we're gonna move on to the next segment of Nerd Radio. And Kyle, you're coming back very soon, maybe even next week, because we need to talk about BlizzCon. Also happening.
Yes, we do.
During YumaCon.
Oh, yes, we do.
So Nerd Radio returns right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing.
Hope you cleared out your DVR. We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Oh, I've wasted my life.
Okay, welcome back. It's Nerd Radio on the podcast page, WRF.com, and all over the place in your RSS feed and on the social media at Nerd Radio 101. My name's Chuck Bean, as always, your host here, and welcome into the show. It's been a while since we had you on the show, Mr. James.
Yeah, what's up, man? It's been a while. Last time I think we talked was Championship Wrestling League.
For sure, and yeah. And that was kind of rocky from what you were telling me.
Oh, yeah. Well, my first and only foray into sports commentary was rough.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But I saw that, speaking of wrestling, I saw over the weekend that you got the local guy, Joe Coleman. You got to meet him.
Yeah, yeah.
I love him. He's great.
One half of my favorite tag team, the Halal Beefcake. He was at the 0.5K over the weekend, so it was cool to hang out with him.
Yeah, like I said, I've seen him wrestle, and he's fantastic, fun character.
He puts on a great show, great wrestler, very entertaining to watch. It was cool to actually see him. So Chuck and I got the fanboy out. We're like,
nice.
Halal Beefcake guy, the Beefcake guy's here. Had to hunt him down, and we're trying to find him, too, because he ran the 0.5K. We were waiting to take pictures or whatever. And then Chuck's like, he kept calling him Beefcake. He's like, Beefcake's right over here. Like, Beefcake, what? Where? And so we're out, like, running around. I got a giant knitted penis on my head, like, looking for this dude who's, like, really buff. And his girlfriend's like, he's in the bathroom. And then she realized, like, what was going on. And we caught up to him, hopefully after he washed his hands. And
hopefully.
You know,
yeah,
we got
sure.
that selfie and went on with our day. So, but yeah, man, it's been a while. Thanks for having me back in.
Absolutely, man. While we're on the subject of the 0.5K happening this past weekend, I have yet to attend one of these, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Usually, like this weekend, I was here board hopping for
the Mark and Andy show. Yeah, we need people to hold the fort down while we're out doing all that stuff.
But how many people actually run it?
When like they actually like run or actually do the 0.5?
Well,
like,
I saw Screamin' Scott do a video where like it looked like the apocalypse, like all these people just tearing ass.
I'd say maybe a quarter of the people will take off right at the get-go.
Right.
But the rest of them, they know it's only 0.5K.
Exactly.
It's half a kilometer.
Right.
They can casually mosey on around the block
is,
and come back.
The thing is
back.
Over before you've started if you just like...
Yeah, and everybody's super drunk by the time it starts anyway, so most people aren't really in the mindset like, I gotta run this bitch.
Right.
You know, it's more like... All right, let's do this 0.5K and get some food and go meet the show.
Go back to drinking.
And get back to the party. But then there's some that are like bound and determined to be the first one to do that half a kilometer.
For sure. One of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show is because we have on the website now what we call Rift TV.
Yeah.
And you've got a show on Rift TV called The Casual Gamer. Tell the Nerd Radio listeners, if you guys haven't already checked out Casual Gamer, what it's all about.
It's The Casual Gamer, an internet program that's video game themed for gaming enthusiasts that like games, but they're not obsessed with them. Because it's me. Like, I dabble in a lot of little things with video games. Like,
sure.
I pick up a game and play it for a little bit, but I don't become obsessed. I'm not like obsessing over my PlayStation or my Xbox. I love video games. They're a big part of my life. I play them.
Right.
But it's not the whole thing. It doesn't revolve around, my whole world doesn't revolve around video games. Like some gamers, that's all they deal with is nonstop video games.
You're talking to one of them.
Yeah. So, you know, like Ninja, obviously he's the big guy on Fortnite and whatnot.
Right.
So I would say like, this is for the people who aren't as good as at Ninja. Maybe you don't buy like the battle pass on Fortnite.
Right.
But you've downloaded the game. You've played it a few times. You've attempted to get the whatever they call it in Fortnite, the victory royale.
Okay.
So to speak. Like you've attempted to get it. Or like if you're a PUBG player, you've attempted the chicken dinner, but maybe you haven't gotten it.
I was going to say winner chicken dinner is the PUBG thing. Now that's fascinating to me. That's actually the thing I wanted to talk to you about this afternoon. Both PUBG, which is Player Unknown's Battlegrounds.
Yes.
And Fortnite are this new genre almost.
Yeah, it's like almost a new like gaming phenomenon.
Yeah,
I would say,
and I feel like old man yelling at cloud because I do not get it. Like I tried out Fortnite, mm-hmm. and the first thing that turned me off was the fact that there was no here's how it works.
Yep,
you just
no
get dropped
instructions.
In.
You literally like you pick up on some bus that's gonna fly in the air, and you hop out and you have nothing but a pickaxe to harvest like wood and different elements that you need. Actually,
right.
I don't even know what you really use those elements for, other than there's vending machines in the game now. You use it to build walls.
Yeah, you build walls.
I don't do the building. Like the building to me, I'm like, oh, I'll get a shield, you know, I find a potion or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, it's like it's a battle royale type game.
I love
the idea of the battle royale. It's like one versus 99 other people, you know, 100 people on the map. You fly out on the map. You have nothing, you know, but maybe a pair of underwear on.
Right.
You got to go get, you know, a weapon.
You got to find a weapon.
Shields.
You got to find some items.
Yeah. And take everybody else out. And you want to be the last man standing. It's a cool concept. I love the concept of it. But, if you're not really good, you're not like a 14-year-old, like, video game master.
Right.
Just plan on getting your ass kicked constantly.
Yeah, and that was the next thing is that, you know, I not knowing what I'm doing, I drop out of the bus and I get inside a house and I see somebody running around. I'm like, oh, cool. And then they shoot me in the face. And then
that's
okay, my game is over.
I guess we're not friends.
You don't respawn.
No,
so,
yeah, you got to wait till another game to start. You got to wait 5 minutes, you know, for the next match to start, which that's what kills me about the whole the Battle Royale, you know, Fortnite, PUBG style play.
Right. Both PUBG and Fortnite are essentially that's the game. One versus 100.
Those are exactly,
find your items and then go. What are the differences between the two in your opinion?
I like to explain like PUBG is like the adult version of Fortnite. So
okay.
PUBG to me is a little more graphic. They're using real guns. There's blood. I think there's blood. But like it's more animated, like it's not as animated violence. Like it's actual. Like I actually, the first time I played PUBG, I got such an adrenaline rush. My first kill, like I stopped. I went and I told my girlfriend, I'm like, I know why people get addicted to video games. I just killed somebody in PUBG, and I felt like I actually literally killed a man.
Yeah,
like I feel like I killed a real living person, and I was like, and I'm scared because I love the feeling I just had.
Uh-oh, this may be used in court against you at some
point. Yeah, probably.
Point,
they're going to dig it up like, Exhibit A, Nerd Radio Podcast from 2017.
We should have seen the writing on the wall then.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's going to come up. But I'd say like PUBG is like the adult version of Fortnite. Fortnite, it's a little more comical. There's more animated violence.
Yeah, Fortnite is definitely more cartoony.
Yeah.
For sure. And a lot of times when these kind of games crop up, there's always like the cartoony version, and then there's, you know, I remember when World of Warcraft came about, like before that there was I want to say it's RuneScape, but there was another game that was essentially World of Warcraft before World of Warcraft, just not as pretty.
Gotcha.
And World of Warcraft was super cartoony and everybody latched onto that because just it was visually appealing.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like everyone latches onto Fortnite.
Yeah, because I think
because it's visually appealing.
I think that's it. I think it has a more appealing to the younger audience. Like I know there's dudes that will argue to the death with you over which one is better, whether you're a PUBG fan or a Fortnite fan. But to me, bottom line, it's the same game.
Yeah.
Do you want to play it as an adult or do you want to play it as a child? Like, I'm sure there's kids that are playing PUBG that are kicking my ass all the time, too.
Yeah.
You know, but I'll tell you, I live a lot longer in PUBG, but I'm more of a, like a, I'm going to kind of hide out and see what happens. With Fortnite, the map's a little bit smaller, so you don't really have that option to hide.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, I think the kids on Fortnite are much better than some of the players on PUBG.
Right. So it's essentially, it's one half Minecraft and one half like Call of Duty.
That's a great way to
kind of
think.
And speaking of Call of Duty, they introduced a Royale mode.
Yeah, they got the Battle Royale mode and the Black Ops 4, which I have not played yet.
Right.
I'm skeptical when it comes to games. They're $60 a pop. So,
oh, yeah.
As much as I like to just go out and drop money on games left and right, like I feel like lately as an adult, I'm not getting my money's worth. Maybe I'm just becoming old man James, but I'm like,
right.
I just bought this last game and I've only played, 12% of it. So I'm not going to buy a new game until I'm at least, to a certain percentage through. And I've heard a lot of good things about Black Ops 4. I'm yet to play it.
Right.
I've watched some Twitch play and stuff, and it looks pretty cool. But
well, before I let you go today, this afternoon, two questions.
Yeah.
What takes up, when you sit down and play games right now, what takes up most of your time?
Right now I'm playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Okay.
That's because I'm about to put it down though. Like I'm tired of it. It's taken a long time to get to what I need to get to. Watching the previews for this game, it looks like it's all mythological creatures from Greek mythology you're going up against.
Almost like God of War like.
Similar, yeah. Everybody's like, you should have got God of War then. I'm like, well, I wasn't familiar with God of War. I saw a commercial for Assassin's Creed. I know it's got a reputation of being a great game. I never got into it in the past because I'm not the sneak around and assassinate.
No, I'm terrible at sneaking.
Yeah, I'm going to bust through the front door, weapons ready. I'm going to F some stuff up. I'm ready to kill the guys, move on to the next target. In this game, they cater to you more to like sneaking and hiding and obviously assassinating by the name Assassin's Creed. But I assumed as soon as I got into the game, my first mission, I'm going after a Minotaur. I'm going after the Cyclops. I'm going after some legendary Greek mythology creature. And instead, like I'm all wrapped up in some war stuff, and there's some stuff involving
kill this banker.
Yeah. Certain generals and things. I'm like, oh, dude, I just wanted to get started. And there's like battles with boats. And I'm like, if I wanted boat battles, I would have got Sea of Thieves,
Right.
I'm like, I'm not getting what I wanted out of the game. So that's what's taking up most of my time right now. It's between that and PUBG. And now that I've learned how to stream from my phone, I play PUBG Mobile on the toilet live a lot lately, a lot more than I care to admit. So you a lot of times you see me going into the bathroom with my cell phone and my laptop, and it's not for pornography.
It's for other reasons.
So
the other question I had for you is, what are you looking forward to right now? What's the game that you're like, man, I can't wait to get this?
Fallout 76.
Okay.
Like, that's what I'm looking forward to. Hopefully it'll be good. I was watching a dude stream it on Twitch, and he's playing the beta, probably on PC or whatever. I'm not a PC gamer. I'm more of a console guy. But watching this dude play, there's some wild stuff going on. He's trying to harvest these, some flower, like one of those, like a corpse flower or whatever.
Right.
So he's trying to harvest these corpse flowers, and he's just getting attacked by, like, packs of wolves, packs of ghouls. Like, all of this crazy stuff's going down, and I'm like, oh, my God. You need somebody to play with you. You can't do this by yourself.
You need some backup.
You need a partner, man.
Right.
You need the Brotherhood of Steel or whatever to come back you up on this corpse flower harvest. And I'm excited for that to come out because I can see some potential fun coming up with that game.
Well, where can people find your stream when you're on the toilet streaming PUBG?
Twitch.tv/WhoTheFIsJC. It's all one word. Twitch.tv/WhoTheFIsJC.
You guys can obviously find the Casual Gamer on the WRAF website and
absolutely
the RIP TV tab.
Yeah, check out the latest episode. Andy Green phoned in a review of Spider-Man on the PS4. Literally, phoned in a review. It's a literal phone-in review on Spider-Man. Not like he half-assed. Well, I guess he did half-ass it, but it's a legitimate phone-in review of Spider-Man for the PS4.
And people can hear you Monday through Friday with the Dave and Chuck the Freak Show.
Yeah, talking poops and farts and penises all morning long.
All right, man. We're going to, you know what? We're going to have you back next week because Survivor Series is on the way, and I know you're a big wrestling fan as well.
Yeah, let's talk wrestling.
So, yeah, we'll talk to James next week with some wrestling, and we're coming back with some nerd radio. Thanks, man.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
StageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Nerd Radio.
It's cool, I'm taking it back.
What are you, nuts?
I'm taking it back, you watch.
Welcome back to Nerd Radio.
Shut up, Chuck. All right, here's the thing, all right? We ended it, yeah, Nerd Radio podcast, blah, 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 whatever, Nerd Radio 101, social media, Alback Radio, hello, this is Bean, Twitter.
Why am I here? Jesus,
get the business done and out of the way. I got a bone to pick with you,
all right?
So we are doing this segment for like 75 minutes,
right?
And I am killing it. I'm on fire. I have information.
Right. Yeah.
Information. I'm sorry. I was trying to remember The Prisoner. See, this is my point. This is my point that I want to make. I was thinking about the intro to The Prisoner.
Yeah.
Who is number one? You know, whatever. See, this is the problem, Chuck. I was on fire, and then you put another segment in between me and me, and now I don't know. I don't know what's going on anymore.
Now you're lost.
I'm completely lost.
See, Jefferson.
Who are you? The new number two.
Jefferson is more.
Who is number one?
Jefferson's more overt with his abuse to you. I'm more subtle and conniving about it.
Are we really starting this segment this way?
Yeah, this is it.
Okay.
This is the end of this week's Nerd Radio right here.
I'm just giving you the opportunity to open it another way.
Nope. But I'm good with that.
And I hope we're going to leave this banter in, too. I mean, it's a podcast. It's pre-recorded. We could easily edit this out and not waste any of your time, but here we are.
But this is what you show up for.
So
let's talk about some comics.
We really should have recorded this on a different day.
Some comic books. Man, I know you're having a long and a tough day, and you're very ornery about the whole thing.
Give me something. What do we got?
All right, so we got some comic books here. This week, the big news for both of us in comic books. For me, it is the last issue of my favorite Transformers book, The Lost Light. It's a $7 issue, which means it's extra large. But it will be the final issue of my favorite bit of Transformers.
How many other Transformer books out there now?
There are, but they're both of those. There's an Optimus Prime book, and there's a miniseries, which is wrapping up the entire series that IDW has been doing. I'm really concerned because IDW has yet to say what is next for the Transformers, other than, you know, they're doing a Transformers Star Trek miniseries.
Okay.
But they're like... The idea is that they're going to reboot the whole universe and start over, because the Transformers books that IDW has been doing has been going on for like 10 years. So they're going to start over with a new universe so they can, you know, re-put the pieces in different places kind of thing. But at the same time, it is now November, you know, and previews comes out, lets you know, 3 months in advance. So I've seen what's coming out in like January or February, still no new Transformers book. And it almost feels a bit like, you know, how Marvel just got Conan back. And then a couple years ago, they got Star Trek from Dark Horse and all of that. It feels like that might
be Star Wars.
Star Wars. But it feels like that might be happening.
Yeah.
But there's just nothing. Just radio silence.
Yeah, that's definitely what happened. That's definitely what happened with Dark Horse with Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it was also kind of radio silence, but the writing was on the wall. We all kind of knew.
Yeah.
Because we knew that it was ending with Dark Horse, but we didn't necessarily, there was no announcement that it was moving to Marvel, but we all kind of knew, like, well, Disney owns Marvel.
Right.
Disney just bought Lucasfilms, so they own all of the Star Wars franchises, so of course they're going to move it on to something that, a publisher that they own.
Right.
But they just had to wait. Same thing what they're doing with all the stuff that's on Netflix, you know, all the
Netflix Marvel shows are kind of getting wrapped up because, hey, we're going to have a streaming service next year.
Yeah, so at the time, they didn't have their own streaming service, so it's like, yeah, let's make deals with Netflix and do these shows and whatever else, but as soon as they're like, yeah, we're going to make a Disney streaming service, then yeah, of course they're not going to, it's going to disappear from Netflix, all the Marvel movies, the TV shows.
Right.
Because they're going to have it on their own brand.
But yeah, as a longtime Transformers fan, it's very troubling that there's just radio silence, just no anything. And Marvel put the first Transformers books out back when I was a kid, back in the 80s. So that's why it's like, well, maybe Marvel's going to pick up Transformers again. But until we find out. Mm-hmm. This is the beginning of the end of my my Transformers books. Like I said months ago, it's the 2018 year. Comic books are breaking up with me. Saga's not coming back for a year.
Oh my God,
the
I feel like
Transformers books are ending.
That's kind of how I feel about comics right now.
Yeah. Well, the other
as we discussed in the segment that was a whole other segment ago.
It was on fire.
It was on fire, and now I'm just.
Well, I revealed to you a couple of weeks ago when the news broke that Green Lantern was rebooting. This is the week, issue one, Green Lantern. Grant Morrison, who you're not a fan of, and Liam Sharp, who actually very, very cool art, works very well for the book. I was flipping through it when I was at the comic book store this morning, and I was like, this looks kind of neat. And it's got some goofy Grant Morrison-ness, but Hal Jordan as the main Green Lantern, the main focus of the book. Just try it out, brother. God. I can tell you already though, there's a very Grant Morrison idea in here that is either you're either gonna love
it. Making it worse.
Or you're gonna hate it.
You're making it worse.
There's because the Green Lantern spans the entire universe. So there's different aliens who are Green Lanterns. Yeah. There's a Green Lantern called Floozelflem, I believe.
Okay.
Who's actually just a virus. With the Green Lantern ring.
He's a viral lantern.
He's a viral lantern, yeah. Like, he helps one of the
God,
other...
God, I hate Grant Morrison.
Like I said, it's either so off the wall that it's like, oh, that's kind of interesting, or you're like, oh, stupid Grant Morrison.
Man, oh, I love Green Lantern so much, and I hate Grant Morrison so much. I didn't need this today.
Right. Well, I told you last week about that Marvel Halloween special. The Avengers Halloween special.
Yeah, what else you got? What do we got?
The thing. I read it over the weekend. I read all the stories. There's five stories in it. Four of them are some of the funnest friggin' stories I've ever read.
Yeah.
There was the Captain America as the Thing from John Carpenter's The Thing, which was super cool. There's a...
It was fun, though. It made sense.
It was fun.
Was it cohesive?
Yeah.
All the way through? Your storyline followed?
Yeah.
I bet Grant Morrison didn't write it then.
Wasn't connected in the least whatsoever.
You didn't do this to me, Chuck, but you just reminded me of my pain.
Yeah, well, there you go. Reminding Al of his pain here on Nerd Radio, and reminding you to check out your local comic store with comicshoplocator.com. Find your local comic store. Check out the books I was just talking about. Green Lantern, number one, coming out this week. Lost Light, I believe it's issue 75 or something like that. It's the last Transformers issue. So, like, check all those out, because I think they're some of the most fun science fiction I've read in the last.
Oh, it burns.
5 or 6 years.
Grant Morrison, I hate you so much.
And the Avengers Halloween special from last week.
Oh, God.
All right, Al, I'm going to apply some coolness to your burns.
And, does someone have any aloe?
We'll be back with some Nerd Radio next week.
Oh.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend!
Golden Radio.
I know!
See you later, nerds.
Hey, we're out!
Just, if I can't end a Nerd Radio without going, then what am I doing with my life? I mean, really?
Oh, that started bad and it just got worse.
Fuck!
Me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.